St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Gentiles are without God in the world and without hope.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Now that's an amazing statement. It means that to be without God is to be without hope, and the corollary, to be with God is to have hope. Christians are marked by this. We have hope. And we have hope not only in this life, but we have hope in the life to come. Our Christian hope expands past death, past the last day, even to the resurrection of the body, the new heaven and the new earth where the righteous dwell. We have this extended horizon of hope, and we dwell under that cloud of glory.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolfmiller making the case for Christian hope at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org. You have heard the phrase, doctrine divides, love unites, as though doctrine and love somehow were to be pitted against one another, and it certainly makes doctrine look like something we don't want to pay attention to in the church. Why is that wrong? Is it because, well, Jesus himself commands us to pay attention to doctrine? Is it also because he promises to bless the doctrine that he has given to us and for it to be a blessing to us, and that he's also commanded us to be unified in doctrine? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part 11 of our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Members Knew About. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of doctrine. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. He posts theology on the YouTube channel Wolfmiller One, and he's author of several books, including Has American Christianity Failed? Brian, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Why do Lutherans often have a reputation for being sticklers for doctrine?
Yeah, this is one of the biggest misunderstandings. So for this series about what I wish my non-Lutheran family and friends understood, I think this is one of the places where a lot of the disagreements come from, and we can't always articulate it because Lutherans look at doctrine and teaching different than any other church body, even serious theological church bodies like confessional reformed church body. Lutherans just have a different perspective on doctrine, and it seems to people, for a lot of reasons, like it's defensive or exclusive or angry or exalting of opinions. And so the Lutheran love for theology and the Lutheran love for doctrine and the Lutheran insistence on everybody having the same doctrine seems exclusionary, cold, even rude. I think the source of this is probably the pietistic move that says that our Christian life is seen by our growth and good works and not by our teaching or doctrine. And that's probably reflected in this bumper sticker or refrain that says that love unites and doctrine divides. That's made famous by Rick Warren, but I mean, it goes all the way back to Erasmus when he was debating with Martin Luther in the time of the Reformation. Love is what unites us. Doctrine always divides us. And so if doctrine does divide, then we don't want to do that. Jesus, after all, wants the church to be one. So we shouldn't be so concerned about doctrine that there would be all these divisions.
So what is at the heart of the Lutheran love of, we could use the word teaching, because that's the same word as doctrine, but what is at the heart of it?
It should be, and it isn't, when this is right, is that our love for theology is our love for Jesus and his words. That Jesus comes to us and speaks to us in his prophets and apostles and gives us that great gift, and we treasure those words. We cling to those words. We know that our life depends on those words. And so our love for theology is a reflection of our love for Jesus. And it's good for Lutherans to remember that, because sometimes when you get into the battles, into the arguments, and into the fights, you forget what we're fighting for. There's this great old saying from Luther. I haven't tracked it down, so it might be apocryphal, but where every error strikes at Christ. And we remember that then, that the reason why we're concerned about false doctrine and false teaching is because it, in one way or another, takes away glory from Jesus and comfort for the sinner. And that's at the heart of our concern for theology.
So this really is a love for the gospel and a love for the teacher, namely Jesus.
That's exactly right. And when we love Jesus, Jesus knows that to love him is to keep his commandments or to treasure his words, to, like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus, to listen to every word that he said and to hold those in our hearts and our minds and to treasure those. That's what theology is. Mary, then, is that picture of a theologian. And that's a blessed, beautiful picture for us to remember. What we recognize then is that everyone who comes along with a false doctrine or a different doctrine is trying to steal that joy and that peace and that comfort away from us, which is why we say, no, look, you can't have it. You can't have this great promise that Jesus gives that salvation is his work and not ours. You can't have this great doctrine that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. You can't have this teaching that Jesus is God in the flesh and bearing our sins to redeem us and to set us free from sin, death, and the devil. You can't have this doctrine that God created the world or that we're going to be raised or that baptism forgives our sins. Jesus has given this to us, and we simply won't let his treasures be stolen. That's the impulse of Lutheran orthodoxy.
We do this not only as an act of love, but also as an act of obedience. Where do we find the command to guard doctrine in Holy Scripture?
It's all over the place, but a couple of key verses to remember. Yes, Matthew 28, where Jesus is resurrected. His disciples are worshiping him on top of the hill. Some are doubting. He tells them to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And that instructions from Jesus to keep or to observe or to treasure everything that he commanded is important. He doesn't just say teaching them to observe some things that I've commanded you or teaching them to observe the things that I commanded you that you like or the things that I commanded you that aren't controversial. He says all things, so that Jesus commands us to treasure every single one of his words. He also commands us to look out for false doctrine. So it's Jesus who gives the command to beware of false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. And that command tells us some of the danger, that false doctrine, like a ravenous wolf, is dangerous. Jesus has not authorized us to have a lackadaisical or lazy approach to orthodoxy. He has commanded us to be on the lookout for false teachers. And we know that those false teachers are both within and without, like Paul preaches to the pastors in Miletus in Acts chapter 20, that false doctrine is always going to be assaulting the church because the devil is always trying to snatch up the word. And so even though it's distasteful for modern Christianity to be concerned with truth and error, and even though it's oftentimes inconvenient for that line to run through families and through friendships and things like this, we're not authorized to neglect this role. Paul writes to Timothy, this is 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So there is a pattern of sound words. There's an orthodox way of speaking, and the Scriptures set before us the command to follow that. So the Church of Jesus, because it hears the command of Jesus, is concerned about what's true and what's false.
So that pattern of sound words implies that we ought to stick as close to Scripture's way of saying things when we formulate, when we express or confess these doctrines.
That's right. That's exactly right. And we're to be on the lookout for novelty, for new doctrine and teaching, which is not revealed to us by the prophets and the apostles, and to bring that the Scriptures to bear on that. Again, this is work that it's hard work, because oftentimes the false prophets, like Jesus says, don't dress up like false prophets. They don't put the sign on their forehead. They look like sheep. And so this work of discerning truth and error in the church is hard work, but it's important work because it's precisely in the Word of God, and that Word taught in its truth and purity, that Jesus comes also to bless us. So it's not just that he commands orthodoxy, but he also promises blessing from a right understanding of his Word.
Where do we find that?
Well, how about, there's a couple of verses in John that were sticking out to me as I was thinking about this, but Jesus says in John 8, verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Or later on in John, chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God," this is Jesus' prayer, "and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So that life, eternal life, comes from knowing God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and abiding in that truth. So that the gift that the Lord Jesus gives through the Orthodox doctrine is the gift of eternal life. Paul says, 1 Timothy 4:16, "Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourselves and your hearers." So that salvation comes from this theological care. Now, that doesn't mean that if someone has a false doctrine, that the Lord says, "Okay, you're dead to me." No, we know that saving faith can coexist with bad doctrine, but just because it can coexist doesn't mean that the Lord wants it to coexist, that it should coexist, or that it's safe to coexist. I think the best picture for this is a body with cancer. So someone says, "Well, I got cancer, but look, I'm still alive. Look, I can still go to the baseball game or whatever. I got cancer, but that's no big deal." Well, no, it's a big deal. It doesn't instantly end your life, but it eventually will take the joy away and take your life away if it continues to fester and grow. So false doctrine is a terrible state for a church or for a Christian to be in, and it's a dangerous state as well. It always threatens to grow and undermine our faith in the Lord Jesus.
We're discussing What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew about the importance of doctrine. Our guest is Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of the book, Has American Christianity Failed? Browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org or purchase Has American Christianity Failed? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. On the other side, what does Scripture command? What does Scripture promise regarding doctrinal unity? You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Jack Phillips, Larry Rast, and Will Wheaton at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Registration is $150. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
We confess that the church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, and yet, as we look at the church here in 2021, it hardly seems one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. How do we come to grips with this reality? Is the church one? How is she united? How do we look to her head, Jesus Christ? Well, this question and many others are discussed in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. It's all about the church. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back. We're talking about the importance of doctrine in our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew About. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. Brian, we need to discuss unity in doctrine. What does Scripture promise? What does it command regarding doctrinal unity?
Sure. So it's an interesting thing because, so maybe some of our non-Lutheran family and friends are tracking with us so far and they're like, well, okay, I understand that teaching is important, but this is talking about the essentials. You know, Jesus is the Savior, and you have to trust in Christ to be saved. But there's a bunch of non-essentials that don't really matter. There's questions about, the end times or the baptism. That's always baptism and the Lord's Supper are thought to be non-essential, and that we're exalting our human opinion to a place of authority in the whole question. But the Scriptures are constantly holding before us the Lord's insistence on being united in the doctrine. So just a couple of examples here. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Or on the flip side, what about those who cause disagreements by having a different doctrine? Paul says in Romans 16, 17, and 18, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. So Paul would have the Christian church and the Christian themselves to pursue this unity of doctrine and to look out for those people who, by diverging from the doctrine once for all delivered to the saints, to mark them and to avoid them. So Paul himself sets up this, I suppose, the problem of denominations that we see, where you see a different doctrine and you say, that different doctrine means we do not have the unity of mind that the Lord Jesus both commands and gives his promised blessing to. So we want to mark and avoid that particular person. Now, this, again, it's an uncomfortable thing, especially because there's people that I really love, and I have to say, look, we have a different doctrine, we have a different teaching, we don't have this unity. We know that the Lord Jesus has given you the gift of faith, but this really matters, and that's very hard for people who don't have this understanding of the importance of doctrine, the command of orthodoxy, the promise of true doctrine. It's really difficult for them to even understand why this matters so much for the Lutheran.
So ultimately, how is the faith of a Christian best served by a deep and abiding love for what Christ teaches Old and New Testament? In other words, doctrine.
Well, I suppose that let's talk about the danger first and then the blessing. The danger could be, and this is for now for the Lutherans who have this concern for Orthodoxy, the danger for us is that we let Orthodoxy itself become a work by which we are saved. But the advantage and the blessing of the true doctrine is that it's always peeling away those works, always peeling away our own self-righteousness, always peeling away our own attempts to justify ourselves, and holding before us the glorious truth that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega of our own faith, and that he comes and justifies us, gives us his own righteousness as a completely free gift. Our flesh always wants to have something to say about that. Our pride always wants to have something to say about that. The world always wants to have something to say about that. The devil himself is always trying to creep in and corrupt that. But when we have that doctrine pure and clean, it is a refreshment to the soul. It cleanses us. It makes us alive. It gives us new birth. It holds on to us and brings us all the way to the end. And that's what Jesus wants. The reason why Jesus wants us to have true doctrine is because he wants us to hold on to that truth, which has to be revealed from heaven, that he is beginning to end our Savior, our Comforter, our Lord. And that's our only hope in life and death, but it is our hope in life and death.
Two quick objections that I want you to respond to. One is that, well, yes, there is true doctrine, but only God knows it. And we as fallen and flawed human beings can never really know true doctrine truly.
So it's true enough that the truth belongs to the Lord, but he can reveal it if he wants to, and he has. And it's true also enough that we are fallen and sinful, which is why we never can rely on our own opinions. It's why the doctrine always has to be, thus says the Lord. So if anybody comes to you and they say, well, here's the truth, and they don't say, thus says the Lord, here's the scripture text, then, you know, you can be done with them. But when the Lord's word comes down, it not only brings truth, but it also enlightens. So the word itself is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so God's word illuminates our own heart and our own understanding and gives us a beautiful gift of, like Paul talks about in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of your heart would be opened. So we rejoice that the scripture shows us that it is true. And the scripture itself, by the work of the Holy Spirit, illuminates our minds. So the Christian can't be a skeptic. The Christian is not, there's no way to escape the fact that the Lord comes to us and tells us the things that are true. And if you don't have that where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. If we reject that for Pilate's skepticism, what is truth, then we're abandoning the ground of faith which the Lord lays in his word.
The other objection is that while the goal ought to be true doctrine, there are a lot of churches out there that are loose on doctrine, and they still manage to make and retain Christians. What's your thought?
Yeah, I suppose we say, God be praised that the Lord can use, Nebuchadnezzar to discipline his people, but God's use of something doesn't mean his approval of something. So God can use a heretical church to give people faith, but the fact that the Lord uses something doesn't mean that he approves of it. And we know in the scripture that he approves of the right use of his word. So just because we see the Lord working in all sorts of crazy places doesn't mean that we go to those crazy places. We stick to what he commanded and to what he promised. And we rejoice that in the joy of the true doctrine, the Lord Jesus establishes us even more firmly in the comfort that he wants us to have. And so we don't go wandering to the edges of truth. That's not our business. The Lord has told us to abide in him, and we delight to so abide and rejoice and be provided that joy by his word.
Brian, you're going to be speaking this weekend at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference on July 23rd and 24th. At Concordia University, Chicago. Why should our listeners attend?
Man, I can't wait for this. I'm so excited. We just checked in our airline ticket for tomorrow morning. We're going to head up there and this is going to be great. There's so many great speakers. I can't wait to hear from Dr. Rast, from Jack Phillips. It's going to be great to hear what Robert George has to say about marriage. So I can't wait to attend the conference. And I hope to add a little bit to it because we're, you know, the devil's always attacking our hope. He's always trying to make us despair of what's around the corner. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and through the Word, causes us to abide in hope. And so I hope that we'll be able to let the Lord's Word buoy us, and that the Lord's hopefulness, which is an anchor for the soul, the book of Hebrews tells us, that that will lash us to the promise of eternal life. And so we'll leave rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ. That's my prayer anyways. I can't wait. This is going to be fantastic.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolf Miller at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference this Friday and Saturday at Concordia University, Chicago. You can register online at issuesetc.org, or when you arrive, Making the Case, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches in Austin, Texas. He posts theology on the YouTube channel Wolf Miller One, and he's author of several books, including Has American Christianity Failed? Brian, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the Disney Plus TV series Loki with Pastor Ted Geese. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will lead us in a teaching on Proverbs 28, and we'll look forward to Sunday morning according to the one-year lectionary with Pastor David Peterson. Well, it's an act of love, a love for God's Word and for Christ Himself. If we love Christ, we will also love His teaching, all His teaching. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? we'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.